20 years ago, this pulpit was not that heavy, I'm telling you. Well, we are so blessed to have you here today, and you know, it's an honor to be able to be in God's house. I thought before I had the pleasure to sing the song that I've never seen in the life of a church the challenges that a church has faced. There are so many people in our church that are going through challenges today. Satan has done everything that he could do to attack this church. But I know the end of the story, and the end of the story is that we have won. Amen? Amen. God has brought people to this church this year. God has brought people for us to minister to this year. And there's a lot of people that have gone through a lot of stuff. And we just need to continually, this is the beginning for us to take a stand for the cause of Christ. Amen? Amen. So give God a big hand clap of praise this morning as we begin. Now I want you to look at the picture this morning, and I want you to see, first of all, the top left is a picture of the manger. The bottom left of that picture is the cross. And the question that I wrote up there is, how could this manger scene end up like the cross? In all of the challenges that he went through for you and me. And I'm going to share with you today how blessed we really are. The original Black Friday that you and I celebrate today is a mess. I'm just going to say that. I don't know if y'all go out on Thanksgiving, God bless you, okay? I would never say anything against it. I am one that's not going to go. Because you're literally driving into a mess. I mean, everybody's wanting that favorite deal. People are fighting over that last 60-inch screen TV. They're fighting over the last little Barbie doll that's down there. They're fighting. They're going into parking places. It is nothing but chaos. And my deal is, why would we want to put ourselves in it? Now, my kids got me out one time. One time. And that's the last time that I'm going to go if I have to pay $100 for the next bigger screen TV. I mean, it's not worth the chaos and the craziness. But here's what I want you to see. In the midst of all the excitement and all the wonderful deals that you can get at Target and all the wonderful deals that you can get at Best Buy and Walmart and wherever else you want to go, let me show you what our Lord did for us on the original Black Friday. In Matthew, it says, "For the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all of the land." People didn't understand that Black Friday. I don't think people understand today that Black Friday. And it says that about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a very loud voice. He said, "Eloi, Eloi, lama." And he says, "Sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, if you think about a Black Friday, there's nothing good about that deal for him. Now, that's the greatest deal that you're ever going to get on any Black Friday. But it's so sad that our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that began in the manger, was taken to that cross for you and me. And in the midst of all of that, cries out to his daddy. He says, "Daddy, why have you forsaken me?" And the answer sits in these chairs today. Amen. See, he did for us what we could not do on our own. And even if we went to the cross, we were not a sign of perfection. Peter says, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and to live righteousness. And then it says, by his wounds, you and I are healed. See, the key in the midst of this is because of the cross, the greatest deal that you and I could get on a Black Friday is that we literally have righteousness. It means that you and I have a right standing to be in the presence of Almighty God. See, if it wasn't because of Black Friday, if it wasn't because of that special deal, you and I would have never been able to have a right standing to walk 24/7 into the presence of Almighty God. That's the greatest deal that you can get on Black Friday. Matthew says, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and he yielded up his spirit, and behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, this is not a small curtain. This curtain, depending on what you want to read, was somewhere between 4 foot and 14 foot wide. And on that day, that curtain tore, but it tore from top to bottom. The scripture says the earth shook, the rocks were split, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. See, when people were out there, they had no idea that the power of God was at work in their life. We have no idea in this church that the power of God is at work in our lives. They didn't understand it, and we don't understand it. But I know that it's true. In 1 Corinthians, it says, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. See, people will look at the word of God today, and people will look at the actions of this church. When people come up here and they will dance, or they will praise God, or they'll lay on the floor. When we go to the hospital and we lay our hands on those that are sick, when we anoint those people with oil, or when we speak the word of God and impart it into their lives, people will say today, that is foolishness. But the greatest fool is the one that doesn't believe the word of God. Amen. Peter says this precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. If you and I stand tall today, you know that Christianity Today, the magazine, wrote all about Christianity today. But you see, I told a man yesterday, I will never tell our church who to vote for. But what I will tell you to do is to pray about who you're going to vote for and make sure that they follow biblical precepts. And if they are Christian individuals, whether they're Democrat or whether they're Republican, we want them in office because they follow God's word and not man's law. They're more concerned about biblical principles and being biblically correct than being politically correct. And what we need today is people that are not worried about offending someone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't care when we go to the hospital and we lay our hands on someone and they think it's foolish and they might be offensive because you and I mention the name of Jesus Christ. I don't care, and you shouldn't care either, because we worship a God that is a God above all gods. He is the King above all kings, and he is the Lord of all lords. Now, John says, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me. And the more we get closer to the end times, and I believe it's closer than anybody could ever imagine, people are going to hate you and I even more. When we mention the name of Jesus Christ, people are going to put us down. I've shared it before. I got asked to go speak at an event, and the gentleman said, The only thing that I ask is that you don't end your prayer in Jesus Christ. And I said, if you don't need Jesus, you don't need me, and I'm not going to be there. Well, I went anyway, and I ended it in Jesus Christ, and I haven't been asked to come back again, but they heard about Jesus Christ. The world will hate you because of who you love. And his name is Jesus. And you have to be willing to be offensive in a Christ-like manner. You have to be willing to understand people are going to think that you are fools. And you really have to be willing to go, I don't really care if you hate me because he loves me. Amen? Amen. Now, here's what the world has to know. Here's the best gift that you could give anybody on a Black Friday. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. The greatest gift that you could give this Christmas to anybody is the gift of Jesus Christ, because no one has a right standing. No one can receive justification. No one can pray to God unless you have Jesus Christ, because he is the way. Now, Ephesians says, and again, what better gift could you receive on a Black Friday? He says, in him. In who? In Jesus. In him, we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished. He just didn't give us. He lavished on you and me in all wisdom and insight. See, you know, if we are forgiven, then we must be willing to forgive those who have offended us. But one of the greatest gifts that you and I have this Christmas is the gift of forgiveness. Because if you look at your life, if you see how far you have fallen short from the glory of God, that you and I have a God that loves us unconditionally, no matter what we've done in this life, no matter how bad we've been in this life, it is because of the manger scene that took us to the cross that you and I have the greatest Black Friday of all, because you and I have been forgiven from what we've done in our life. You look at the people today that are being held in bondage. Could be bondage of alcohol. It could be bondage of drugs or sex or pornography. It could be bondage of hatred. It could be bondage of the lack of peace. It could be whatever demonic plague you think that's out there. It says, so if the Son makes you free, then you will be free indeed. And that too is another gift that you and I can receive on Black Friday. No one wants to be held in bondage. No one wants that kind of nonsense. And you and I on this Black Friday have the opportunity not to purchase the gift, but to get the gift and share that gift with someone and make them free in 2019 and begin a new year in 2020. Now, you know, if your wife has ever called you a creature, it's true, okay? I mean, y'all didn't know that, right? Y'all are creatures, especially the guys in this room, all right? But the Bible says, therefore, if, so it's an if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. That means that you're not the same person that you used to be. And see, a lot of people, when they shop in Walmart or Target or Bed Bath and Beyond, you didn't think I knew those names, but I did because I went with Pam, okay? But, you know, when you shop in all those places, Home Goods, didn't know that one either, right? But when you go to all those places, Kirkland's too, I've been there, all right? But when you go to all those places, you go in there, but when you leave, you're the same person. You ain't got no more money, but you're still the same person, you know? But the great thing about it is when you get this gift, a gift that didn't cost you one red cent, you are a brand new creature in Christ. The old life that you used to have was gone, and the new life that you got has come. That's the greatest gift that you could get on Black Friday. Now, if you can sit down on this one, you're all right, but I don't think you ought to, okay? And this is why. You and I need something to live in this world. There's too much confusion. There is too much chaos. There is too much worry and anxiety. There is too much sadness. It's just a lot of stuff going on. And you and I can't fight this world in a human way. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual weapons. And Acts 1:8 says, but you, as a born-again believer, will receive power. And that word is miraculous power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you so that you could go out and be a witness to the world and even to the remotest parts of. Can you imagine if you begin in 2020 being filled with the Holy Spirit? Asking the Holy Spirit, I don't know what else is out there, but I want everything that you got. I want you to fill me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And I want that miraculous power so when I go to the hospitals, lives are changed. When I share Christ, life is changed. I want this world to change for the cause of Christ. Amen? That's a great Black Friday that you and I could have in our lives. And then it says, for in him, you and I live and move and have our being. See, the Bible says apart from Christ, you and I can do nothing. There is no way when we go through the horrifics of life that we could do it alone. There is no way when you get that diagnosis that you could do it alone. There is no way when you have bills to pay and you don't have the money that you could do it alone. In him we live, and in him we move, and in him you and I have our being. Amen? But thanks be to God, Corinthians says, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As difficult as it is, you and I have got to learn that we are not going to walk into 2020 as victims. Larry, you are not a victim. You are a victor as you go into 2020. Amen. James, you and Mom, as difficult as life is, you are not a victim as you walk into 2020. You are going to be victors because of Jesus Christ and what Christ has to offer. Mr. Franklin, as you go into 2020, you are no longer a victim either. You're going to be a victor. Right now, Linda Goodson is in the hospital. She's doing good, but she can't walk. And this needs to be a church that begins to pray. And we're going to say, Linda, as you go into 2020, you are not a victim. You're going to walk into 2020 because of the prayers that this church will offer up on her behalf. We are going to be victors, and we're not going to be victims. Now, if it doesn't get any better than that, Corinthians says, just as it was written, things which eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, that God has prepared for those who love him. You can go into Best Buy and get the best earbuds you ever want to get. You can get the greatest TV that you ever want to buy. You can get the biggest speakers that you ever want to buy. You can look at all of the technology that's out there today, but it will never match all that God has prepared for you and me as we go into 2020. Amen? Now, here's what I want you to see. We went from the cross, but let's go back, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him, the Bible says, in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes are nothing but pieces of white material that they wrapped, and they're actually burial cloths. She had no idea that day when she wrapped her baby in swaddling clothes what that truly meant. You and I don't understand the total picture of that little baby lying in a manger. That's not the way the King comes. That's not the way the Lord comes. That's not the way our God comes. But you see, our ways are not his way, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. And God says there's a different picture, and I want you to see the picture. Matthew says she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. That's a name that is above all names. That's a name that everybody is going to bow to at some point in time in our life. And that name's going to save the people from their sins. And now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold. That means, church, take a look. The virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which actually means that God is with us. And if God is with us, who, church, could ever be against you and me? Now, when you look at that little manger and you go all the way to the three crosses, well, one of those crosses should have been us. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. We don't deserve it. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. That God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. And whoever believes in him should not perish, shall not perish, but have eternal life. You can't buy that gift at Target. You can't find that gift at Walmart. You can't get that gift on Amazon. That gift has been given to us by a God who looked down on his children and said, I give to you what you can't have. 1 Corinthians says, for I delivered to you as the first importance what I also received, that Christ died for all of our sins, according to Scripture. He was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to Scriptures. Romans says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And what a great gift that we have, because we've all have loved ones that have gone home before us. But if Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, the same power that raised him from the dead will be the same power that raises you and me from the dead, and you cannot find that gift on Black Friday except from the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I want you to hone in on. If you can't understand the cross, you will never understand why God the Lord of all, the Lord of all lords, and the King of all kings truly did what he did. And I know that y'all have heard this before, but it's worth repeating today. This comes from a pastor by the name of S.M. Lockridge. But he says, the Bible says that my king is a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's the king of Israel. That's a national king. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of ages. He is the king of heaven. He is the king of glory. He is the king of kings. And he is the Lord of all lords. Now see, that's my king. And my question to all of us today is, do you know my king? See, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love, and no far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barrier can hinder him for pouring out his blessings. Why? Because he is enduringly strong. He is entirely sincere. He is eternally steadfast. He is immortally graceful. He is imperially powerful. And he is impartially merciful to everyone in this room. Now, my question again is, church, do you know my king? See, he's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He is God's son. He is a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He is awesome. He is unique. He is unparalleled. He is unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He is the highest personality in philosophy. He is the supreme problem in higher criticism. He is the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He is the carnal necessity of spiritual religion. He's the miracle of ages. He's the superlative of every good that you choose to call him. He's the only one qualified to be called the all-sufficient Savior. Do you know my King? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and he sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick and he cleanses the lepers. He forgives the sinner. He discharges the debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. But I wonder, church, do you know my King? He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring to wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He is the gateway, church, of glory. His office is manifold. His promises are sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. And his burden, it's light. And I wish I could describe him to you. But he's indescribable. He is incomprehensible. He is invincible, and he is irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind, and you can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you sure can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him, and the witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yep, that's my king. And that, my friends, is the real reason for this season. So on that Black Friday, he died that you might have. And all I can say after this is Merry Christmas, because God is with us. Give him a hand clap of praise this morning.